Happy New You. Yeah, Happy New You. I didn't get to celebrate New Year's this year. I left Montana at 2 o'clock New Year's Eve morning, and I got in here at 3:30 New Year's Eve afternoon. Needless to say, I was asleep when New Year's happened. Although the fireworks did bring to my consciousness that the new year was here. And what I had thought I would do when I came back from Montana is bring the snow with me, because it snowed every single day that I was there, and it didn't snow inches, it snowed feet. My husband said he's the nice guy of the neighborhood, and he plows the driveways for the people who can't. And so he said he plowed more snow in those 2 weeks than he did all last winter. And so I tried to bring some with me, but apparently it hasn't caught up with me yet, but it will. So look forward to it. So for today's talk, the name of my talk is In the Circus, and you'll understand why a little bit further. So Albert Einstein says that a human being is part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself or herself, his thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest, a kind of delusion of our consciousness. And this delusion is a prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole nature in its beauty. So when we wake up in the morning, we have goals to accomplish, don't we? I mean, the first one is to get your feet on the floor and pull yourself erect and get out of bed. And then some of us exercise before we go take our shower, and some of us just head right to the shower. That's a goal, right? To get up in the morning, to take your shower, to brush your teeth, to eat breakfast. We all have goals, and then we move forward from there into our day. And although we may not consciously think of them as goals, whatever it is that we have to participate in that day is our goal for the day: going to work, taking care of our children, cleaning the house, whatever it is, that's a goal that we have set for ourselves consciously or unconsciously. And we must remember that we are not the only ones that have goals. Everyone has goals, and society as a whole has a goal. And we may not agree with the different societies' goals, but we do recognize that they have them. And the Centers for Spiritual Living has a goal. They have a vision, and we are incorporating that this year in our services, in our talks. A world that works for everyone and for all creation. You'll notice it's not just for everyone, it's for all creation, and that includes Mother Earth, and that includes the creatures of the sea and the creatures of the air and the creatures of the earth. It includes you and it includes me. We want a world that works for all of us. We envision an inclusive world, and don't we say that every Sunday when we read our vision statement, an inclusive world? According to Sharif Abdullah, who wrote the book A World That Works for All, the goal is an inclusive human society and a habitable planet. It doesn't mean that everybody has the same things, but what it does mean is that everybody has enough. Everybody has enough. It means coming to the understanding that each and every one of us is part of the whole, part of the one, and that our lives are linked to one another. My life is linked to yours. Your life is linked to mine. When I hurt someone else, I'm really hurting myself. When I celebrate in joy, I'm sharing that joy with others, because actually we are always linked together. So how do we achieve that inclusivity? How do we achieve that without participating in some pie-in-the-sky religiosity, as they say, and without being depressed because things aren't going the way I think they should. How do we do that? Well, we start with us. We start with you, and we start with me, and we start with the world that works for us. We live by that golden rule which permeates all faiths. Rabbi Hillel said, "What is hateful to you, do not do to others." And Buddha says, "Do not hurt others with that which hurts yourself." And Jesus says, "Do unto others whatever you would have them do unto you." And Muhammad said, "None of you is a believer until you love for your neighbor what you love for yourself." Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? But sometimes we feel like we're living in a three-ring circus, lions and tigers and bears. And sometimes we feel like we're walking the tightrope, trying not to offend anyone, right? We're walking that tightrope, trying to fit in. We're juggling things. We're juggling life. We have this three-ring circus. We have our personal life, we have our work life, and we have our spiritual life. And it's our goal to be able to bring those together and to unify them. Sometimes we get so caught up in the chaos of the different acts that are going on that we lose sight of the truth of who we are, don't we? We lose sight of our oneness with the divine, and we forget that simple rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So what we need to do then is to pause and to breathe into that center space and to remember the truth of who we are, individualized expressions of the one, to remember that we are all one and that that person sitting next to you is much more like you than they are different. The people that we meet are much more like us than they are different from us. There's plenty of everything, and sometimes we live in fear and we grasp and we hold on because we're afraid there might not be enough. And we forget that it's an abundant universe and that life should be a cooperation and not a competition. There is enough, and it can fill our needs as well as theirs. And remember, they're so much more like you than they are different. And I don't care if it's the person sitting next to you or the person halfway across the world in Iraq. They are so much more like you. They have the same wants, the same needs, the same desires. They want to be loved. They want to have enough. In the 60s, some of us who were children of the 60s, we had this thing, make love, not war, remember? And so we thought all we had to do is parrot those words, make love, not war, live in love. But the thing that we forgot to do was to heal ourselves. What we forgot to do is that it's necessary to live in love, to change our consciousness, isn't it? It's necessary for us to be able to be that love and not just parrot those words. And we didn't really understand what we needed to do to change our consciousness. Tuning in, dropping out, that really wasn't the way to change our consciousness, was it? We needed to understand that we need to love ourselves and to recognize the truth of who we are. Who am I? Who am I? Who are you? You are an individualized expression of God, whole, perfect, and complete, exactly the way you are. And we get to learn to let go of some of the things that we learned in our education. When we went to school, we learned all about how the cultures were different, didn't we? We learned about how the people in China lived, and we learned about how the people in Japan lived, and we learned about how the Native Americans lived, and we learned about what we didn't learn is that we are all one, that we are all one, that we are more alike than we are different. We learned in school that the world does not necessarily work for everyone when we looked back at history, didn't we? But what we need to understand is we have the power to change that conception. We individually and collectively have the power to become the truth of who we are, part of the one. And in order to do that, the first thing we need to do is to love ourselves unconditionally. The past is the past. Let it go. The future hasn't happened yet. Let it go. Love yourself unconditionally in this very moment. Because once you learn to love yourself unconditionally, it's so much easier to love others in the same manner, isn't it? In a world that works for everyone, Sharif Abdullah suggests that we apply three criteria to any of our current or foreign issues and see how they measure up. Enoughness. Enoughness. Everyone has enough, even though our resources are not shared equally. There is enough. Exchangeability. Trading places would be okay. And common benefits. The system is designed and intended to benefit all. Now, he talked about going on a trip to Sri Lanka, and they had a big dining room where they gathered for their meal. And the guests were served on a big table on china plates, and the food was put in the middle of the table. More than enough food. And the Sri Lankans ate their food in a metal bowl. And they went to the kitchen, and they got their food, and then they came back and sat at the table. And if they were still hungry, they went and got some more. And it would have been okay, you see, if they'd changed places.